This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Wake up.
It's time to wake on up.
Wake up.
With a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the Butcher Boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh! The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
Happy Thursday morning and happy opening day. It is the morning roast here on 95.7 The Game. Joe Shasky and Mark Grandy. I'm in for Joe Spadoni the rest of the week today and tomorrow. And Shasky, I could not pick a better day to be in here with you. It is opening day. This is a sacred day. And I'm so excited to talk some Giants baseball with you.
Yeah, you know, there are certain days, like the first day of the Masters for golf fans, you know, like the obviously
hello, friends.
The first Monday night football game of the year, you know, because typically the Niners are in one of those primetime
yep.
games. They at least they have been a lot. Those games always are just, I don't know, they make me feel some kind of way. But opening day in baseball, it just has
nothing better.
Absolutely. We just celebrated March Madness on that opening Thursday, which usually gets people super, super excited. But there's something about baseball where it's the long grind, and then it also signifies that, like, spring has sprung, and we're getting ourselves ready for the best time of the year, which is the summertime, Memorial Day weekend, and all those things that are coming up, and vacation, partying with your family, the sun coming out. There's just, today is a special day in the Shasky household.
It's a special day in my household. It's a special day, I think, in Sam and in Carter's household. I mean, this is huge day. And I know there's a lot of you out there who have been looking forward to this day for a long time as well. And shout out to all of you watching on YouTube. Brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union for a low-rate auto loan. Apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And we're coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. Brought to you as well by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. But it's Giants, it's Reds in Cincinnati today. If you're out here on the West Coast, 1:10 first pitch time. Logan Webb making another opening day start in the Giants. Hope springs eternal. The best part about opening day, Shasky, and this isn't, you know, relative to the Giants this year. I think the Giants have some expectations and, you know, hope above 500 and make a postseason spot. Even if your team is expected to be the worst team in baseball, you're expected to win 60 games or whatever. Opening day is still amazing because you finally get to go to the ballpark. You get to see the fresh cut grass. You get to smell the garlic fries,
absolutely,
all of that stuff. And You could be in for a world of hurt watching your baseball team that year, but opening day is something special no matter what.
It feels like a week's worth of games packed into one, right? You win opening day, and you just feel like you're never going to lose. You lose opening day, you feel like you're never going to win again. It's honestly one of my favorite days of the year. I'm a big believer in, like, pomp and circumstance. Like, I love the pennants and all the different things that they've got going.
Well, and the lineup announcements. It's they come the out down the first and third base line. Just puts a smile on my face.
No doubt. And then seeing who's going to throw out the first pitch and seeing all the old school, you know, the guys that used to play that are now coaches and whatnot, all lined up along the first base, third base side. There's just something special about it. And like, for the Giants to start in Cincinnati, like, I think it's awesome because, you know, Cincinnati, obviously the Giants and the Reds have had a postseason series before.
But great postseason series.
Absolutely.
Shout out Buster Posey. Seriously. On Matt Latos.
I know. Well, Edison Volquez, Johnny Cueto. Yep. I mean, the Jay Bruce at-bat's still going on. I don't know if you know
that. Oh, my
God. But the Reds are what I consider, like, if I close my eyes and there's, like, you know, 8 to 12 teams that I think of when I think of, like, baseball, the Reds are one of them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I know they haven't been a factor, per se, in a long, long, long time. But for people that were my dad's age, the Big Red Machine, at the height of television in the 70s, they were the Golden State Warriors, if you will. They were the Kansas City Chiefs.
Unstoppable.
I mean, they had an entire lineup of Hall of Famers and some of the greatest to ever play the game. And this is the first game for the Reds since Pete Rose passed away. So I don't know if they're going to do a little something for Pete Rose. I know when you say Pete Rose's name out loud, you get 1,000 different responses, all of which can be appropriate. Okay, because off the field, we know he wasn't a good person at all.
One of the best baseball players ever.
I mean, there's so many people that model their game after him. Charlie Hustle and just the way that he played the game. And he's also, you know, a baseball genius. Jerk off the field, bad human being, but a baseball genius.
Yeah. And I'm sure they're going to do something for him.
They have to. I mean, I think Cincinnati Reds, right, like I just kind of close my eyes, 14, Pete Rose, in the tight pullover jersey, white pullover jersey.
Hair flying out the back of the helmet.
Absolutely. Flipping one left-handed into left center field. I just, God, I'm pumped. And they've got one of the most popular players, because I coach a lot of young kids, probably one of the most popular players on the planet right now for young kids, Ellie De La Cruz. The height, the size, the speed. I mean, the way we talk about basketball.
All the tools.
He's got everything. You know, like basketball, this guy's a five-tool player, and it's positionless basketball.
He can score at all three levels. He can defend as well.
I mean, that's Ellie De La Cruz. Yeah. And we get a front row seat to see this guy. I mean, he's what the Giants kind of don't have.
Oh, they need it. They need someone like that desperately.
Anything close to that.
That's why Marco Luciano's leave last year was so tough.
100%.
Because you kind of felt like he had the promise of someone like that.
Well, that's what we were sold.
He was touted as that kind of prospect. That hasn't worked out. But, I mean, the Giants got themselves their own new shortstop, Willie Adames. Mm-hmm. That's one of the most exciting offseason acquisitions the Giants have made in a really long time. You pair Willie Adames with Matt Chapman on the left side of the infield. You've got your new center fielder who you had last year but whose season was cut short in Jung-Hoo Lee.
Yeah.
You've got Patrick Bailey, maybe the best defensive catcher in the game. Elliot Ramos was an all-star last year.
Shocking.
You have Logan Webb, who's going to make another opening day start. I know maybe there's some questions elsewhere in the pitching staff, but you got some quality pieces that we haven't really had around here in a bit.
How do you view Logan Webb? Because, you know, when I think about the San Francisco Giants, one of the things I hear from a lot of people, they don't have any stars or anything. I don't think Logan's a star, per se, but he's a great player.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
He's a great player.
One of the most valuable pitchers in the league, because you know he's going to give you like 30 starts a year.
I mean, 200 innings almost every single year.
Yeah. He led the league last year.
Multiple years in a row. Yeah. And he's just a guy that's going to go deep into games. He went into the seventh inning or longer the last 2 years more than anyone in baseball.
The best thing about Webb, he'll give up 5 runs, he'll still throw 7 innings
100%,
for you.
100%. And I think the way he pitches, getting a lot of ground balls, getting a lot of guys to kind of get jammed or hit it off the end of the bat, having an elite shortstop and an elite defensive third baseman is vital for someone like him. And last year, their defense up the middle was atrocious. I'm talking about shortstop in general. How many different guys did they play at shortstop last year?
Oh, so many.
I mean, do you remember who the opening day starter was?
Nick Ahmed?
Yeah. Who got DFA'd and went down to the Dodgers.
And then hit a big homer for the Dodgers against the Giants. later that year.
Brett Wisely, Tyler Fitzgerald, Marco Luciano.
Casey Schmidt.
A zillion guys. They even like talked about Matt Chapman playing there. So you look at all the best teams, all the best dynasties. 9 times out of 10, there's going to be catcher, shortstop, center fielder. 1, 2, or 3 of those guys will be elite. Not just good. Elite. And so having a great shortstop is extremely important. I don't even know if people know who Willy Adames is, but the guy's a great ball player. And the way that you fell in love with Matt Chapman, I think you're going to fall in love with Willy Adames the same way. Obviously he's got more flair than Matt Chapman, who's a little more understated, but Willy was a Tampa Bay prospect. Tampa Bay understands the game better than anyone when it comes to finding players. They developed them. Who's the other shrewd, smart, well-run team in baseball? The Milwaukee Brewers. Every year, they've got a mediocre payroll, and somehow, some way, they are in the playoffs year after year after year. And Willy Adames was a great Brewer. They loved him. And the only reason that he's gone is because they can't afford to be able to pay someone $150 million. He's got the richest contract in Giants history. It's kind of crazy.
It is crazy. He deserves it. Plays every single game.
Yep.
I mean, he has already stated a goal of his is for him and Matt Chapman to play every single game together on the left side of the infield. You know how exciting that is to hear as a Giants fan?
It's so much
better. After years of just not sure who's going to be in the lineup every single day?
It's honestly so refreshing.
Like, Willy Adames could have, not rooting for it, of course, he could have a down year hitting the baseball.
Yeah.
Just being out there for like 160 games a year, that's going to be an improvement over everything else.
Well, and they haven't really had any power from that position. Mm. Like right now, they don't have power from first base, which is a premium, old-school power position. So you got to find it in alternative ways. So having a guy at shortstop that can give you that pop. Remember, Rich Aurelia was the original, like, I'm fine with the glove, but I'm going to hit the ball, and I'm going to hit it a long way. And Brandon Crawford had moments.
2021?
Exactly, but I don't think the bat would be something that we would say in the first couple sentences of Brandon Crawford. It was the glove and the range and the arm and all those things. And so to bring in Willy Adames, who's got 150 career home runs, alongside someone who came to the Giants with 150 career home runs in Matt Chapman, that's a lot of power on the left side of the infield. And I just think it shores up your defense in the way you want to play. And I think it's going to help out someone like Logan Webb.
Yeah. No, I mean, you need a good defense, especially on the infield, the left side of the infield, when you got a contact pitcher like Logan Webb. Behind Logan Webb, you do have some questions, because this was a pitching staff last year, Chasky, who, despite Logan Webb leading the league in innings pitched, got the fewest innings out of their starting pitchers in the National League, which is incredibly difficult to do when you have Logan Webb on your roster. And essentially, the only addition to that is a 42-year-old Justin Verlander.
Hey, but Verlander's a stud.
He is a stud.
I think he could be your third or second best pitcher this year. I'm dead serious.
Well, he better be.
Well, I mean, we don't know what we're going to get with Robbie Ray. Robbie Ray coming back.
You hope that he stays healthy.
Tommy John is Tommy John, and you know, they made a trade a couple years ago. They signed Mitch Haniger. It was a terrible deal. And Mitch is a local guy, WCAL. We root for him. He just got DFA'd by Seattle.
Yep.
All right. And so
had a couple good years with the Mariners like 6 years ago.
He's just always hurt.
Yeah.
And just like he was with the Giants, he was hurting. They all give Farhan credit. He made a great trade there. And you got in Robbie Ray. And last year, Robbie had a couple of nice starts coming back from the Tommy John. But a full season, you just don't know what you're going to get. And, he grunts on every single fastball. It's pretty interesting. So I'm pumped up for them. I've got so many questions. Can we run through this lineup?
Yeah.
You think it might be today?
Yeah.
So they're going to face Hunter Green. Big power righty for the Cincinnati
Reds. Flamethrower.
They're probably going to lead off Lamont Wade Jr. at first base. Why are you grimacing? Why do you say that?
I just want some speed on the top of the lineup. And Lamont Wade, last year was rough, and ended up dealing with an injury. He could hardly move at all, but I don't know. I mean, he gets on base, has a good eye, he'll draw some walks, but I just like to have a threat on the base pass when my leadoff guy gets on base.
I thought you signed Jung-Hoo Lee to be your leadoff hitter. That's what I thought it was for. And when I see some of their, regular season, or I guess preseason Cactus League lineups, Jung-Hoo Lee's batting third. And I was just like, I don't love that. I don't love that at all. And we'll get to Jung-Hoo Lee in a second. But Lamont Wade, when I look at first base, DH, I think Lamont and Wilmer are going to get so much run, we're going to get very, very tired of that. And that's like the one big negative when I look at this roster as a whole. leading off with Lamont Wade Jr., as everyone in the game is going speed, as everyone in the game is going, hey, I want to put pressure on the pitcher and be able to put pressure on the catcher and get into scoring position as fast as possible. Ellie De La Cruz, 67 stolen bases last year.
Oh, my God.
The guy who led the Giants last year, Tyler Fitzgerald, 17.
Yeah, I was going to say like 15 or something.
Yeah, and Chapman was 2 at 15. Chapman. So, yeah, Lamont Wade doesn't burn a lot of confidence leading off. But
no.
I think they're going to go with him.
I don't know. I mean, Jung-Hoo Lee is the other option. But the other thing is, Jung-Hoo Lee, you hope, and we're going to find out who he is, which is one thing that I'm excited about this year. Jung-Hoo Lee can hit for a little bit of power.
Yeah.
Got some extra base power. He can hit you double-digit home runs if he's healthy for a whole year. You kind of would like to have that kind of bat towards the middle of the lineup as well. And maybe the issue the Giants run into is, once you get past like 3, 4, 5, you don't really have a lot of other options. So maybe it's okay to move Jung-Hoo Lee down a little bit and you have a little bit more power there in the middle.
I'm a big believer in trying to get your best players as many at-bats in the game as possible and move them up in the order. I think we overthink like righty-lefty and all that. Just stack your lineup with your best hitters hitting as often as possible at the top of the lineup. There's nothing worse than, hypothetically, Matt Chapman standing in the on-deck circle with a huge at-bat, second and third and two outs. Mm. You know,
and the game ends with him on the deck. With him on deck.
100%. Yeah. I mean, they missed the pop. So I'm looking at this lineup. I think it's going to be some amalgamation of Lamont Wade and then Willy Adames in the two-hole at shortstop, Jung-Hoo Lee in center field in the three-hole, Matt Chapman batting cleanup at third base. Now where do you go? Do you go Ramos? Do you go Yaz? Patrick Bailey? Flores?
You go Ramos.
You think they're going to go Ramos?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
All-star last year. You got to hit in the five hole.
We'll get to him in a second.
Oh.
Okay, so then who do you got in the sixth spot? Probably Yaz?
Yeah, maybe.
Wilmer?
I'd probably go Yaz.
Look, Yaz, when you hear Yaz, okay, people are going to roll their eyes. And look, I get frustrated because he's like an avatar for Farhan, platooning, bargain bin shopping, right? It is. Like, that's what he is. He had a great spring. I hate to be that guy. Like he had
you
a great
saying
spring.
You duck.
He might be their third or fourth best everyday player.
I mean, he's still a hell of a right fielder.
Yeah, defensively, he's great.
And the acquisition, I mean, hell of an acquisition. Like, he's outperformed what anybody could have ever expected from him. He's just not a very good hitter. But that, I mean, that's kind of what the Giants are going to run into 6, 7, 8, 9 in the lineup.
So
honestly.
So Ramos 5, Yaz 6, Flores 7.
Bailey 8,
Tyler Fitzgerald 9.
Yeah.
Now, I'm looking at those young guys, and, you know, you got Bailey, Ramos, Fitz. Those three in particular. And Jung-Hoo Lee's his own guy, so we'll throw him to the side. I think it's imperative that those young players get off to a good start just to calm the waters and just kind of stabilize things. Like, Ramos really faded at the end of last year.
Mm.
I've only watched, like, there's only been like 4 to 6 games televised. Probably watch all of every inning of every one of those games. Early on, he looked a little overwhelmed, and Fitzgerald did as well. A lot of strikeouts, you know, especially outside. And I'm very excited to see if Patrick Bailey can actually put together an entire year offensively. We've seen months, we've seen weeks, but we've also seen him fall off every single
second
year.
Second half of last year was
big time.
Rough.
Big time. And I think that his defense, there was a correlation to him slacking off on defense when he doesn't hit as well, which you cannot carry that into the field if the bat is slumping. They have to be two separate things. You can't take your at-bat into the defense with you.
Yeah, and you mentioned Tyler Fitzgerald. I mean, their lineup begins to look and feel a little bit different if he hits the way he did for at least a chunk of what he was doing last year.
He looked like Bonds, dog.
He was amazing for like a month-long stretch. But if he's a flash in the pan and struggles, then suddenly you got an issue at second base. But if he at least hits decently, you can kind of shore up that spot, and the lineup does look a lot better. But then you're relying on Wilmer, and you're relying on Yaz, and you're hoping that Patrick Bailey can put together a whole. Like, you need Fitzgerald to not prove to be a flash in the pan.
Let me ask you this one, Granny, because I get super pumped on days like today, right? And I'm geeking out here. Now, I know we've been talking Warriors, 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 Brock Purdy, Brock Purdy. But today's like a little, it's a respite. We get to go in a different direction today. And I I always go to, like, what made you love sports, right? Like, I love those kinds of things. Like, for me, you know, Chris Mullin and Latrell Sprewell and Chris Webber and Tim Hardaway and those early 90s Warrior teams made me love basketball. Jason Kidd at Cal made me love basketball. You know, football is just, I feel like I was indoctrinated in it from birth. So it's a little different. And just the religion of football is so unique. Baseball. There's like this old school childlike love. And I always think of like, what are the players that made you love the game? Not who's the best player. Not who's the best player. Who's your favorite player? Okay. And I always feel like you can get a glimpse into someone's soul when they tell you who their favorite player, not the best, but who their favorite is. And like, obviously Barry Bonds for guys my age, like, that's our favorite guy. That's all we had for so long. And there were so many down years and we could never win anything. For the younger guys like yourself and Lubman, you guys got to see championships at a younger age.
Yeah.
I was a grown man, married, you know, I had bills. It was totally different. But I think of like the guys that got me into the game and all my buddies were Will Clark fans. And I love Will Clark, but Kevin Mitchell was my guy.
Mm.
Kevin Mitchell was my guy. The Jerry Curl, the way that he swung this giant heavy bat, the way that he would go up there and just take a murderer's type of a swing. And there was something intoxicating about the way Kevin Mitchell carried himself at the plate. I wanted to be Kevin Mitchell growing up. He was the guy that I absolutely loved. Now, as I got older, I loved Lincecum and obviously so many guys throughout the years. Like, but Kevin Mitchell was the guy that made me like love baseball. One of them. I mean, there's many, but he's like the one guy. When I close my eyes and I think of like young Joe Shasky and I have his throwback jersey, I love number 7 because of him. Kevin Mitchell got me into the game. Who was the guy for you?
There's so many. I mean, I think I got to go Posey.
Really?
I mean, Bonds, I remember the tail end of Bonds' career, and every game I'd go to as a kid growing up, I swear, every game I went to, he'd hit a home run, and it's hard as a kid to look past that. Bonds was amazing, but then the championships happened, and Posey was the reason for so much of it. And Lincecum's there. Hunter Pence, when they acquired Hunter Pence, immediately.
Still love Hunter.
There's so many good ones.
You were. It's like for the Warrior fans that are your age, same thing. Well, it starts with Steph Curry. You know, like, well, of course, he's the greatest of all time. You know, and I think a lot of people are going to answer Bonds, something like that. There's a lot of guys from the 70s, like Jack the Ripper.
Mm.
You even know who Jack the Ripper is?
Yeah.
Jack Clark is a lot of old school Giants fans' favorite player.
Yeah.
You know, and so I love these days like today because it makes us think about whether it's your uncle, whether it's your grandfather, maybe it's your mother, maybe it's your aunt, somebody who taught you the game of baseball, a coach, whatever, and you think about what your first love was. Like, and I'm thinking about my dad on a day like today, you know, and I'm thinking about Kevin Mitchell and me hitting off the tee in the backyard playing ball.
It's awesome. Awesome. What about you? 888-957-9570. Not the best Giant in your opinion, but your favorite Giant. When you close your eyes and think about Giants baseball, who pops to mind for you? You can let us know. 888-957-9570. That's what's coming up on the game, brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater. It's the Morning Roast. That's Joe Shasky. I'm Mark Randy, in for Joe Spadoni. More coming up next here on 95.7 The Game.
I mean,
one homer shy of 30.
God, left field has just been a bugaboo. I'm really pulling for Elliot Ramos in left field. I mean, we need him to stick. Like, we need a young player to stick. I don't think he'll ever be a quote-unquote superstar, but how you build out a team is you have a lot of really, really, really tough at-bats and guys that are going to grind, and if you make a mistake, they're going to drive it into the gaps. And so I'm pulling for this guy to be a 25 home run guy, and I think that he's got a lot of pressure on him this year because I think a lot of how we're going to view the farm and player development and sustainability for so many other players. Yeah, people are going to point to Bryce, and Bryce Eldridge is who I'm talking about. But Ramos, to me, is as important, just in the sense of, like, he came up, he showed he belongs. Can you sustain? And can you stick? A lot of guys have a great 3 months, 4 months. Can you adjust to them adjusting to you and then make another adjustment and then make another adjustment? That's what baseball's all about.
Yeah, and he was great for so much of last year, but you mentioned it earlier. He kind of petered off a little bit towards the end. We'll see if he can get it going to begin this year. He is going to start in left field today, even if he doesn't.
That's great.
That's going to be the 19th consecutive different opening day left field starter going back to Barry Bonds in 2007. There has not been
consecutive,
and they've all been different names, too.
That's incredible. Are we going to do that with point guard after Steph Curry?
Oh, God. I don't even want to think about that.
I mean, could you imagine having 19 consecutive different starting quarterbacks every single year?
Oh, my God. It's like the Cleveland Browns.
I don't even think they've had that.
Not quite, but they're close.
19 different left fielders. All right. You did this at the break. How many can I name?
You probably get most of them.
You think?
Yeah.
All right. I just started writing.
I mean,
names
you're a
down.
Rolodex here. You got these names in the back of your head.
We were having fun before the show, and I had you pick out a random year.
Yep.
And I would just start reading the lineup. I wasn't bad.
You got a lot of them.
Yeah. It's tough. Baseball's tough. All right. We're going in a row. So Bonds started 07.
Yes.
Bonds
in 07. Starting point.
All right. 07. I'm going to try to go in order. Okay. The very next year, Dave Roberts, because I told my boys that I thought I could beat Dave Roberts in a race. So Dave Roberts has to be number one, right?
That's correct.
Freddie Lewis, I'm trying to go yard, has to be 09.
You're correct.
2010. Now, 2010, Pat Burrell was the next year because he was DFA'd by Tampa Bay. I think it's the guy who's on Major League Baseball Network who broke his wrist that year, who was set to be a utility player, Mark DeRosa.
Yep, you got it.
All right, so let me write DeRosa, Dave Roberts, Fred Lewis. 2011, Pat Burrell.
Correct.
Okay.
5 for 5.
This is where it gets tricky.
This is a name.
Okay, it's okay. I'm going to go.
You don't remember him in this position.
It wasn't Pagan, because Pagan was your center fielder, and I think Blanco later on. So I think 2012, I'm going to go Andres Torres.
You are 1 year off for Torres.
Okay.
So Torres was 13.
Torres was one. Okay.
Torres was 13.
Okay.
This guy had a huge...
Melky Cabrera.
No. This guy had a huge role on the 2010 World Series team.
Oh, Aubrey Huff.
Yes, he started opening day in left field.
I had Huff down here, and I didn't know if it was... Okay, Aubrey Huff.
Uh-huh. I honestly thought it was Huff and right, Melky and left that year.
But remember, they put the chalk line out in the outfield when he missed a play. You guys don't remember that?
I thought that was in 21, though, because he got moved to the outfield for Brandon Bell.
He stinks. God, he
okay,
stinks.
So Huff in 12. Okay. You have Torres in 13. So
it
next
was
is,
Torres. Torres yes. was around. Yeah, that was yes. after he came back. Did Pagan play left field at some point?
At some point, yes.
How about Blanco?
Blanco, no, never was an opening day left fielder.
Okay, how about Michael Morse?
Michael Morse is 2014.
Okay. A.K.A. X-Pac. He looks dead on like X-Pac from WWE, all right?
Huge homer in the NLCS.
All right, so I'm going to start throwing some random names at you. I know this name in my head because I've seen this list 1,000 times. Garbage lefty Jared Parker.
Yep,
he's got to be on this list.
Okay.
We'll always have that 3-home run game at the Coliseum.
How about the cheesesteak guy? Alex Dickerson.
Oh, yeah, for sure. 2020.
Okay. I call him the cheesesteak guy because of that commercial.
God
I really like
cheesesteaks.
Like, bro, this looks like a hostage video. You got to have Hunter
I'm
Pence.
I'm happy with cheesesteak.
I'm happy with you. Hunter Pence has to be there.
Yeah, 2018, Hunter Pence.
Okay. Yeah. How about Austin Slater?
Austin Slater in 2021.
Okay. It was a good matchup that day.
Okay.
So you got
Nori Aoki.
Yeah, what a pull. 2015, Nori Aoki.
Okay, now this name I know just because he's Pittsburgh Pirates, the hair, everything. Connor Joe.
Yep, 2019. Okay. I remember that
Who
year.
Who am I missing?
You're missing, so let's see. You got Morse, Aoki, you
Give
got Pagan in 16,
years.
You got Parker, you got yeah. Pence, you got Connor Joe,
I mean,
you got Dickerson, you got Slater. So you are just missing 22,
okay.
23, and 24, the last 3 years.
23.
The last 3 years.
And 24, you said?
Yes, the last 3 years. Those are the only ones you're missing.
22, 23, 24. I have no idea, dude. I can't even...
You should be able to get last year, and you should be able to get 2022.
The guy who started last year, he's a Dodger this year now, isn't he?
Yeah.
Called him Scooter.
Oh, my God. That... He sucks.
What's well, yeah, that's not his
the
name.
Guy from the New York Mets, who I don't even remember his name now.
Michael Conforto.
Conforto.
Yeah, that was last
so
year's
good.
Opening
Mitch
day.
Hanniger.
He is not one.
He got hurt in preseason. Wow, not Mitch Hanniger. Conforto. I totally forgot about Conforto.
They're missing 2022 and 2023.
Give him to me.
Jock Peterson in 2022.
Jock,
your Halloween costume.
Oh, my God, Jock. How could I forget?
And then 2023, this might be one of the tougher ones out there. Yeah. Blake Sable.
Had to have Blake Sable on the roster because Joey Bart can't be on it. They claimed.
Well, remember, he claimed him
on the Rule 5 designation, so you had to keep him on the roster all year. Had to get rid of Joey Bart for Blake Sable. Hey, so I basically, Jock, who I should have got, Blake Sable, and then Conforto. I forgot about Conforto. I completely forgot about Conforto.
You did a hell of a job. That's a who's who of who are you for a lot of the time.
Not bad. Jarrett Parker's a pull.
Jarrett Parker. Yeah.
Jarrett Parker's a pull.
I mean, Sam mentioned the three-homer game he had at the Coliseum. You remember that?
I do.
The Zito Hudson
game. If you say Jarrett Parker, in my mind, I start rambling off Dan Ortmeier, Lance Negro, and all the other Mac Williamsons of the world.
Yeah, I was thinking Mac.
Todd Linden.
Todd Linden's a great name. Like John Bowker, who we referenced earlier. All these I call 4A players.
Who would just absolutely dominate in Fresno back in the day.
Just right.
You bring them up and they couldn't hit.
All right, so Carter, who is the guy, when I say your favorite, not the best San Francisco Giant of all time, your favorite San Francisco Giant of all time, who comes to mind?
There's one person, Barry Bonds. I absolutely loved that guy. I mean, dude, it was just electric TV when he was on.
God. What about you, Sammy? Sammy, you're one of the biggest Giants.
Yeah, for me, it's a twofer. One, Jason Schmidt. I remember his first start when the Giants just
Love
got
Jason
him.
Schmidt.
Oh, he was so filthy.
It ended so ugly, though.
Oh, but it was such a great time. Then the other was a friend of the show, Rich Aurelia. I actually got my first ever Major League Baseball from Richie at spring training in 2002. It was him, Sinjo, Dunston, and Bonds were doing a little batting practice, and he tossed the ball to me in the stands. And I already like Richie as it is, but from that point on, you know, Richie was always an all-timer after that.
That's a good pick. It's a good pick. And under the radar one, Benji Molina. Benji Molina
love
was
Benji.
So fun.
Got no negative thoughts.
I love
Benji.
Benji.
I mean, no negative thoughts. My uncle Matt's chiming in. He's saying Jack Clark was his man. Obviously, he loved McCovey, John the Count Montefusco. I mean, there's so many of them. And then so many like of the older generation, like Cepeda's, and you get the Willie Max, and then you get the Willie
Mays.
Juan Marichal's another one. And so I love hearing from the different generations. I want to hear who their favorite guy is. Yeah. Johnny LeMasters for some people.
Yeah, you can let us know. Shoot us a text. Give us a call, 888-957-9570. Your favorite Giant of all time. Also, what are you looking forward to this year with Giants baseball? We'll get into that when we come back as well. Also, as a reminder, the Sweet 16 is at Chase Center today. Former St. Mary's player and USF coach Todd Golden and the Florida Gators take on Maryland in the first game, and John Calipari's Arkansas Razorbacks take on Texas Tech in the second game. Go to chasecenter.com/events for your tickets. Yes, the Sweet 16, it begins today. We got plenty more opening day stuff to get to, and that's what's coming up on the game, brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. We're brought to you as well by Saramonte Ford.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Got asked to leave the stadium.
Oh, no.
And so
my God.
This is the early stages of Instagram, okay? Was it 2013?
2014, yeah.
Was that the one at home? That was the one at home?
That was 2014,
okay,
his second.
So I went to the 2013 one where he threw like 1,000 pitches.
In San Diego.
Yeah, where Hunter Pence made a catcher in front of us. Yeah, my boy Velas, he didn't make it all the way to the end of the game.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so a bunch of us went to the game. We were all sitting there. I posted a bunch of stuff. Hey, we're at the Lincecum, you know, no-no. And so there's like a group photo of everyone. And his soon-to-be wife's like, where's Velas? I'm like,
You got kicked out.
Yeah. Shout out my boy Murph. He's out there somewhere. We were all at that game, and he got so tossed. That he got tossed, and he ended up not making it to the end. And then he tried to, like, lie and tell everybody, yeah, I was at that game. It's like, dog, you got booted in, like, the second or third inning. Yeah, so I was at that. It was an all-time great one. You watched an entire road fan base. Well, the Giants fans were taking over, but entire road fan base by the end were rooting for history. Mm. And, God, Timmy was just...
Well, he threw, like, 150 pitches that game.
It had to be 140. So
I think it was like
148, I believe.
That's what I was
148?
That's what I was going to guess.
Jesus. Yeah. There was a game Jason Schmidt pitched in Chicago. It's like a 2-1 or a 1-0 game where he threw like 150 pitches. JT Snow made a catch diving over his shoulder down the line where the bullpens used to be. I don't know if they still are, but they used to be on the field, you know, in the foul territory. And he made a diving over the shoulder catch. So an all-time great game from Jason Schmidt. I love baseball for these reasons.
It's so great to have it back. And we got a hell of a guest list as well to celebrate opening day today here on 95.7 The Game. Dave Fleming, voice of the Giants, coming up at 8:30. We're going to chat with Matt Lively, KPIX sports anchor, at 9, but also Dave Dravecki, Giants legend, at 9:20. And as always, all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, and Lathrop? Again, we'll kick it off with Dave Fleming in about an hour and a half at 8:30 here on the Morning Roast. It's Joe Shasky. I'm Mark Randy in for Spadoni today here on the Morning Roast on 95.7 The Game. It's just so good to have baseball back, Shasky. We've been throwing out favorite Giants of all time, not best Giants, favorite Giants of all time. I know coming up in a little bit, you're going to give out like your top five list of things that you're looking for, that you're excited for to see this season. We'll go back and forth on that in a little bit. But I also know you want to talk about somebody in the bullpen.
Well, I think about it this way. Like, you know, you've been doing this at this station for a minute now, and you get a feel for this. If you bring up Brock Purdy, man, people are all over the place. Uh-huh. He's the greatest who ever lived. He sucks. He's no good. When the reality is, he's probably somewhere in the middle. Well, I don't know where. I think he's a good player. I don't think he's the greatest. I also don't think he's anywhere near the worst. And nor is he the reason that the team is losing games or whatever. But he's very polarizing.
You heard that crazy report that came out yesterday, right?
I'm so exhausted by contract talk with the Niners. Like, it's you bring up the Niners.
The report was a nothing burger. It was the Niners and Brock Purdy are in negotiations for a contract, and they hope to have it done before week one.
Well, I just feel like when I bring up the Niners right now, I think most of us are like, wake me up when it's done. Like, that's how I feel about the Brock Purdy thing. And maybe because I'm in it and we talk about it every day, I'm exhausted.
I hear you.
By it, and I get tired by it. Like, is it 51? Is it 46? Is it 63? It's like, Jesus, just, if you give him $60 million a year, we all know, like, we're in trouble, okay? Like, we all know that. No one thinks he deserves Pat Mahomes, Josh Allen money, but we also know that he does deserve a giant pay raise.
But you're right. He's a lightning rod.
He is.
Yeah.
The Warriors. You bring up Jonathan Kuminga.
Oh, man.
It's so unfair. Like, some people, he has all-star caliber talent. He's the worst player who ever played. It's like, no, he's somewhere in the middle. They're going to need him if they want to go somewhere. But, like, you bring him up to Warrior fans, and it's so polarizing. For the Giants, I feel like Farhan was the polarizing guy, right, for the longest time. And I don't even want to bring his name up today because I'm just so glad we've moved beyond it. I think Camilo Duvall now operates in a similar stratosphere for Giants fans. And the reason why I bring his name up is because clearly he's got talent. Clearly he's got ability. He also clearly has a lot of flaws. And last year was a lost year for him. I mean, I'm looking at a guy last year who had almost a 5 ERA. And the fact he had 23 saves kind of blows me away because I wouldn't have thought he had more than 15. He had a horrible year. And then there was this whole attitude thing. Yep. There was this, similar to Jonathan Kuminga, conversation about him denying a contract at the beginning of the year that would have extended him and kept him on the team. Then we started questioning his fit with the team in terms of his personality. Then he lost his job.
Didn't want to go in when it wasn't a save opportunity.
There's a lot baked into the Camilo Duvall experience. And I think, similar to Jonathan Kuminga, he is the, like, number one most polarizing player on the team currently for the San Francisco Giants. And I think he's a bounce-back candidate. I think this is a guy, whether he regains the closer spot or not, if the Giants want to be a good team this upcoming year, Camilo Duvall has to be a big part of it.
Even if he's not the closer, like, I mean, you got some dudes in the bullpen, but Camilo Duvall returning to form. I mean, remember the year before in 2023 when he was an all-star sub-3 ERA? I mean, throwing 100-plus consistently, was able to control his pitches and found the zone. I mean, the year before that, he had a 2.53 ERA. Like, the dude has shown pretty consistently that he can be a really good relief pitcher, but for whatever reason last year, it just all hit the fan. I think the difference for the Giants versus like the Kuminga comparison, because I think you're right, if there is like a lightning rod on the Giants, it probably is Camilo Duvall. The difference, though, is with Kuminga and the Warriors don't really have anything else to turn to. Like, they need Kuminga. They need Kuminga to be great. They need Kuminga to be their third scorer for them to have a legitimate chance this year. The Giants, they got a pretty good closer in Ryan Walker. Like, Walker was so good last year.
No doubt.
And I have a ton of faith in Ryan Walker that he's at the very least going to be a positive at that position. You do need bullpen arms, but it's not as if the Giants are going into this season being like, fingers crossed, I hope Duvall can be our closer, because at least they got somebody else.
No, and I like Ryan Walker, but we can all acknowledge, like, things are fickle. I mean, there was a time where Sergio Romo was the setup man, then he became the closer, mm-hmm. and then he went back to being a setup man. So
we always have a love-hate relationship with our closers, too.
100%. Very few are Trevor Hoffman. Hey, 20 years, Mariano Rivera, 20 years. But
Santiago Casilla is part of the core four, and a lot of us have some rough memories with Casilla.
Do you know that he's
2016 against the Cubs in the playoffs.
You know that Santiago Casilla has the sixth most saves in Giants history?
That's crazy.
Do you know who's seventh? Camilo Duvall.
Is he?
Wow, dude.
Like, if I said that to people, I don't think that they would believe that. Like, Santiago Casilla, we're talking
Giants franchise, not San Francisco?
Giants?
That's crazy.
Franchise. Rob Ned, obviously, your leader, 206. Yeah. Rod Beck, 199. Brian Wilson, 171.
Yeah, that's the top three I would have guessed.
Gary Lavelle, Greg Minton, names that you wouldn't know, which is fine because not your era. And then sixth, Santiago Casilla at 123.
Huh. Well, keep in mind, saves weren't a recorded stat for a very long time in Major League Baseball, so that's going to play into it.
And they didn't. I mean, come on. Juan Marichal pitched 15 innings, 16 innings against Juan Spahn.
He probably had a few statistical saves back in the day.
Really, I mean, the closer spot kind of like got created in basically the late 70s, you know, into the 80s.
Kind of got that going.
Well, there were other guys, Goose Gossage and whatnot, and there's tons. But point being is, Camilo is a guy that if you're only going to pitch 60 to 70 times a year and you're Ryan Walker, for as great as that is, if they want to win 90-plus games, if they want to win 85 games, Camilo's going to have a bounce back year. And I think he's a really polarizing guy. And I look at the pitch clock and what it did to him. It was Tranquillo Camilo, meaning he was so calm and his heartbeat didn't go over a certain, amount of beats per minute. But he worked so slow, he couldn't find the strike zone. He lost command of the fastball. He lost command of any secondary pitch. He walked a million guys. That was the problem with him last year. Walked a million guys, couldn't find the strike zone, and then gave up a lot of home runs because he has to commit 2-0, 3-1, and throw a good pitch down the middle, and guys are sitting on it. If he can find his pacing, and what I saw this year in spring training, it looked like he finally synced himself up to the pitch clock. I'm telling you, this guy, to me, is the litmus test on are the Giants good or not. If Camilo bounces back and is a good to great arm in the bullpen, I think the Giants are cooking with some oil.
Well, the rest of the bullpen is Hayden Birdsong, who's kind of a surprise bullpen arm.
We'll talk about that later. Yeah.
Spencer Bivens, you mentioned Duvall. The only lefty in the pen is Eric Miller. Randy Rodriguez was the last guy to make the pen. Tyler Rogers, and then Lou Trevino and Ryan Walker. That's the bullpen.
And Trevino's a guy that you remember from the A's, I think, with Dodgers and a bunch of other teams last couple of years. He's got nasty stuff. I like him. I've always liked him. Obviously, you work backwards. Walker, and then you're going to trust the Rogers, the Submariner. They traded the lefty away. And then Camilo's got a slot in there. You only have one lefty.
Eric Miller, that's it.
You're going to need a full, complement of arms in there. And we know that the Giants starting, rotation, it's kind of up in the air. Hayden Birdsong, I think, should be their fifth starter. I think it's criminal that he's in the bullpen to start
over Landon Roop or over Jordan Hicks.
Jordan Hicks is the arm that should be in the bullpen. Mm-hmm. We know where this is going. Jordan Hicks is going to start. He's going to look good for a month, and then it's going to slowly start to depreciate. Come month two, month three, we're going to be saying, he's going to have to hit the IL and rest his arm, and then he's going to end up in the bullpen. And that kind of bugs me. I thought Hayden Birdsong did enough down the stretch last year and in spring.